You are listening to the Release Society podcast with your Release Society president, Sister Sarah Dot Taylor. Impurity culture at its finest. Thank you for tuning in to the Release Society podcast with your one and only Release Society president, Sister Sarah Taylor. As some of you have noticed, this release is a couple weeks past due. It's a little late, but I had some unexpected things come up, and unfortunately, I was unable to release this episode in the way that I wanted to a few weeks ago. Ironically enough, I did this interview with Dr. Carrie O'Neill. When was that? Beginning of July. And I was in California. And guess where I'm at right now recording this intro? I am back in California. Since this interview, I have been in California, in Vegas, Idaho. I've just been all over the place. It's really just been super crazy and busy. But I wanted to give this release a proper space. And at the time, I was driving down to Vegas the day that it was supposed to be out. And I just, that came up unexpectedly. So thank you guys so much for your patience. It's just been super, super crazy. As for just some news, as of right now, I'm still working. I am having a really good time working with some pretty big brands, pretty big names in the adult industry, and I'm continuing to immerse myself in the world of ethical porn, and it's been great seeing that porn does not kill love, and it is not the new drug. So yeah, continue to consume ethical porn, my people. Speaking of ethical porn, I have filmed with Naughty America, had a great experience. Bam Visions, had a great experience. And tomorrow I am actually filming with Adult Time, and I'm so excited. Oh my gosh, so excited. If you guys are on TikTok, I'll have to look up their account, but one of the, I think it's the, I want to say CEO of Adult Time, they have an account on TikTok, and I love their account. They're so great. But they really do porn differently. I mean, so many companies are doing so many amazing things with porn. With the adult industry. For example, I just had a meeting last week with a person from Brazzers, and I'm going to be going to some Brazzers events coming up, and I'm just so impressed with how professional they are, how much they really do care about their adult performers and their health and all that stuff. So it's been great. I'm having a really good time, and unfortunately, that really good time got in the way of this release with Dr. Carrie O'Neill. She is a Utah-based sexologist. She's amazing. And what I will also say with, you know, me saying she's Utah-based, she's really globally based. She works with people from all over the world. So there's no limits. Wherever you're listening from, there's no limits to who she can help. Like, doesn't matter. She's been doing the Zoom and Skype since, before COVID. So she's, well-versed in that. So if you're looking for a sexologist to help you out in your dynamic, whatever it may be, definitely hit her up and definitely keep an eye out for her course that is coming out in the fall. And I will have links to that, and we will discuss the course briefly during this interview. So just keep your ears open for that. I don't want to give away too much about the course, especially because I don't want to ruin it. Like, I don't want to give away all the good stuff. You're just going to have to go check it out yourselves. And trust me, it'll be worth it. I feel like my journey in the swinger world probably would have been a little different if I had had her in my life at that time. And I will say this podcast interview was scheduled. I reached out to Dr. Carrie O'Neill back in February. I think it's when that Brute documentary had come out, and I had met her at this club, which I will not speak of. But We exchanged information. I scheduled an interview, and because of how busy she is, not only with her clients, but with her new course coming out, I could not get her in till July. So a lot has happened since then. I will admit, at this time, I'm not currently active in the swinger world. And to be honest, most of this has to do with the fact that I'm now performing in the adult industry and testing is super important. Now, Dr. Carrie, she does go over like intro stuff into the swinger world. I'm pretty sure she touches on testing and how important that is too. So I'm not saying like being a swinger, you're gonna get something. That's like saying being in the adult industry, you're gonna get something. People are just not educated to know that this is something that we test for and we keep our eyes open, our ears open, whatever it is. We're really focused on our health, but I do have to test every 2 weeks and I do have to have a clean bill of health in order to take on shoots and scenes. So I am limiting my sexual contact right now outside of work and my very intimate personal life. So I just don't have time, but I'm super excited to have Dr. Carrie O'Neill on here because so many listeners and followers come to me all the time and ask all these questions about the lifestyle, and I can only answer as much as I know, and I'm just as new as most of you. I mean, I didn't get into the lifestyle scene, but maybe like a year ago, maybe. My first party I ever went to was actually in October. So it hasn't even been a full year since my first like real interaction. So yeah, I highly recommend you guys go to Dr. Carrie O'Neill's Instagram. I will have it linked in the description. You're gonna want to follow her because when that program is released and you are new, wherever you're at in the lifestyle with your partner or even just yourself, I mean, it's such a wonderful program, and she really does dive into so many different aspects of our sex lives. And I mean, a lot of things that aren't even sexual, just everything. It's all wrapped up in this wonderful program you're gonna want to check out. So check out the link and then obviously continue listening to this episode. You're gonna really enjoy listening to her. She is just so intelligent, so well spoken. You guys are gonna love it. As for news and updates, what's to come in the near future? Well, I mean, obviously more adult scenes with me in them. I will be attending the AVN Awards, so that'll be exciting. Who knows? Maybe I'll be nominated for something. You never know where your girl's gonna go. Super exciting. I don't know. We'll see. Oh gosh, what else? Oh, I did start a new TikTok account, Sarah.Tay, and check it out. There's no real niche. It's just me being silly, and I do make some adult TikToks. I'm mostly just joking, guys. I troll. I troll on my page. Don't take me seriously. With that said, I also made a post on my TikTok account, Sarah.Taylor, basically saying like, yeah, I haven't been on this account because I've been living my life. And I've learned I don't like some of you. Now, here's the thing. That was mostly a joke. There's maybe like two people that I don't like. And I said that to an audience of over 27,000 followers. Fortunately, I don't think I hurt anyone's feelings because the small handful of people, they're fine. I don't know if they're fine or not, but trust me, like everyone else is fine. It's just like a few people that I've kind of had a bad experience with. And to be quite honest, like that niche, that algorithm that I am stuck in is really not good for my mental health. I can only live in that ex-Mormon space for so long. Like it's just not good long term. I don't know how some of y'all do it, but y'all do. So keep doing what you do if you're making someone's day good or helping someone get through something, just keep doing it. But I just cannot be in that algorithm anymore. It's been really difficult. So, I moved on. I'm in a new algorithm now, and I'll tell you what, I love my new algorithm. I'm seeing so many funny videos, oh, so many new things that I can relate to. I just cannot relate to ex-Mormon content right now. It's just too much, too heavy, too heavy. I want to scroll and laugh. I want to scroll and feel an emotion other than this, like, like. I can only relate to that for so long before I'm like, need to move on. But that's really it. Life's just been busy. Like I said, I'm in California right now. I actually need to go to bed, but I wanted to record this introduction prior to the release. And I hope you guys enjoy it. I hope it finds you well. I hope if you're listening, you're listening with curious ears, but also compassionate ears, because as you may hear, if you're somebody whose partner is not wanting to move forward, there's probably other reasons for it. So try to keep an open mind, to all aspects of this conversation here. And of course, we're going to have Dr. Carrie O'Neill back on because this is a pretty big deal. She is just a wealth of knowledge. This girl could tell you how to squirt. That's pretty important. So, anyway, I need to learn that too. Anyway, without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into this episode. Oh, and finally, please, please, please drop a 5-star review. Please. I don't ask for much. I don't ask for money on this. I don't ask for anything. All I ask is for a review because if I can get enough reviews, then perhaps we can start getting some sponsors on here. That would be great. So 5-star review and of course, continue listening. Thank you. Hello, you guys. I thank you for listening to the Release Society podcast with your Release Society president, Sarah Taylor. I have a very special guest, and I know I say this every single time I have a guest, but I am extremely excited for this guest in particular. I'm just going to say it. We have Dr. Carrie O'Neill here on the podcast, and I want to say you are pioneering the way for many people, but for the swinger scene in Utah, as we're seeing this mass exodus of people leaving the Mormon church. To be clear, I mean, that's really what's happening in Utah. And I think the first thing people want to do is explore their sexuality. So we need more people like you in Utah, but I feel so grateful that we have you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Thanks for letting me be here. I'll tell you, when I graduated with my PhD in human sexuality, you couldn't have put me in a room for 6 months to figure out what my avatar was. The ex-Mormon swinger put my practice on the map.
That's amazing. And if you don't mind, I like to see myself as a humble person, and you look like a humble person, but can you just pump your tires, let everybody know, a little bit more about your credentials, and then we can dive into how you got into the field that you're in and how you found your emphasis.
Sure. Thank you, Sarah. I have credentials in clinical sexology. I have credentials in sex coaching, EFT or tapping, and a PhD in human sexuality. That is a lot of field work and time at the desk related to related to what you're doing sexually, how you're doing it sexually, how you're not doing it but wish you were, and how you feel about it.
Wow, that's amazing. And
Yeah.
were you born and raised in Utah as well?
No, I was born and raised in New Mexico.
Okay.
I went to college in California. I graduated with a mechanical engineering degree.
Wow.
Lots of people say, what does the mechanical engineering and sex have to do? How did you bridge that? I was a fly in the ointment in the engineering community. I did that well, but I did not fit. And I knew that. And so after a 20-year sexless marriage, I just wanted to do it better and differently. And sex had always been an area of interest to me because I had sex abuse as a kid for quite a number of years. And after the 20-year sexless marriage ended up in divorce, I just knew that there was more for me. So I set out to fit right the wrong that I always had tried to figure out, the things that happened to me as a kid, being hijacked, my sexuality. But after that divorce, I began my own sexual renaissance and my own questioning. And if somebody with as much potential and power as me could only get as far as I was able to, I just really wanted to help others figure out the way. And so that's what led to the credentials in clinical sexology, sex coaching, but eventually a PhD because I knew, right? And this is my engineering mind. I just knew that if I had known, air quote, the rules or the elements that would keep you healthy over a lifetime sexually, regardless of your age, your gender, your orientation, or orientations, because they can change, your history, your proclivities. If you knew how to balance and play each one of those elements the way you needed to, when and how you needed to stay on your feet and be healthy sexually, that's what I wanted. And as it turned out, nobody had figured that out, but that is exactly what I did my PhD on. And that's what I base my practice on.
That is just so many things you just said. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, it's, I mean, even you saying that you went into mechanical engineering, and I mean, really, that seems to be like a very male-dominated field, and
It
you
is.
just kind of plowed through the barriers, and now you're here in Utah as a professional sexologist with this creative emphasis. And I mean, even just you talking about, and we'll have to do a whole other episode on trauma because I feel like we want this one to be kind of more of an introduction and get people curious and answer some of those, common
Sure.
introductory questions. But just you even talking about your trauma gives me goosebumps because I think about my traumas and why I have this podcast and why I've been so open about, my journey. Because I just want to see other people get there too. But you are just, I mean, you've got this PhD and you're really just taking the bull by the horns and saying, get the fuck on. Like, we're gonna go, do this. And just, I mean, I feel like you are just an amazing figure for many people, but especially for women right now, because there's so much trauma that is tied to leaving, the Mormon church for women. But we don't need to get into that because that's a
We'll
whole
save
other
it for another time. We'll save it
episode.
for another time.
But yes. Well, yeah, that's awesome. I was going to ask you about your relationship status. You said that you are divorced. So,
My relationship status is I'm currently engaged, but
congratulations.
it was 20 years of marriage, monogamous. There's nothing wrong with monogamy. That did not work for me. Then I went through a renaissance trying on a lot of different things and certainly getting all of the credentials that I have, lots of field work. And I ended up really enjoying the lifestyle, also known as swingers. And the clinical term that we're using these days is consensual non-monogamy.
I
It's
love
a
that.
blanket term because, there's swing to polyamory and lots of shades in between.
Have you heard of the term monogamish, the monogamish scale?
Yes.
Another interview I had, the guest was telling me there was a TED talk about it. So I don't know if
Oh,
you
there is.
talk. Yeah, it's kind of cool. I mean, it really is just kind of I like to refer to, I mean, it's a scale, but I think it slides, I know for us it has. Every once in a while, like we'll go to this side and maybe we pull back and go to the middle and explore this. And then, so we're kind of in the poly side of it now. You do, I maybe it kind of bends. So you have like the swinger and then the poly. It's, yeah. I love monogamish, consensual non-monogamy. I love that.
Right, because consensual non-monogamy means that all the parties that are involved have enough information to give consent.
Yes.
We used to say ethical non-monogamy. There's a better phrase for it.
Yeah.
And I'd like to speak to your idea that it swings or that it slides. I'll tell you now, no matter whether you're practicing monogamy or some level of consensual non-monogamy, I think the biggest mistake that couples make when they come together is not adapting their sex life the way they adapt everything else. So for your listeners out there who have an eyebrow up wondering how does this work, one of the first things that I see happening with couples is they get married young and they have a lot of rules or agreements about what they do and don't do in their bedroom. What they can and can't, what is or is not okay. Okay. But then that same couple grows and maybe they have a family, so they change their house, or maybe they need education, or maybe they change their job, buy a new car, move to a new place. They are always adapting their world to fit what they want, but they don't adapt their sexual guidelines. So my tip to everybody who's listening is start challenging if the way you're living is working for you anymore. And I'll tell you, when you get older, bodies aren't the same. They're not as limber as they used to be. The world is already adapting your sex life around you. So it is much better to be proactive about it, always with the eye open and the mind open.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So you had mentioned to me prior to us starting this interview that you've spoken to thousands of people. Are they regionally based or do you work nationwide?
So I work internationally. I've had clients as far away as Spain.
Wow.
Actually this year. It gets a little tricky with the times, but if I'm willing to take the case or whatever, but as far as away as Spain and certainly East Coast to West Coast.
That's
I
amazing.
have been doing Zoom sessions since 2015. When COVID made
Pre-COVID.
everybody do Zoom, that was not a thing for me. I've been doing it since 2015.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. And I actually, a lot of my audience is Utah and Idaho based, and I have definitely a lot that are just kind of scattered about, but with my travels and my new career in the adult world, in the adult film industry, I'm getting a lot of new listeners. So I feel like while we're talking about, mostly people leaving a religion and then having to explore the sexuality under these new, I don't want to say, I guess guidelines would be a good word, or I don't really know exactly what you would call it, but having to explore and deconstruct yourself, I feel like it is applicable to lots of people. Because even when I wasn't active in the church in my younger days, I still always kind of felt a little funny about sex things, and maybe it was just my upbringing. So hopefully the listeners who are not LDS or ex-religious or whatever, stay in your seats and listen, because I think this is going to be a good episode and a good introductory into the swinging world, which is really what this episode is going to be, because we are seeing a mass exodus of people leaving religion in general.
First, if they've left the church, the first thing they want to explore is sex and substance. And those are the two things they want to explore. And if you're not careful, you can upset the apple cart very quickly.
Yes.
And that's when they come in to see me.
Really, when it's been tipped over.
Or more to the case, somebody will see them high drama and say, hey, you know what? You need to see her, and then
Oh.
y'all can come back in about 3 months. I
Oh my gosh, yeah. I do recall my interview with TNG, and they were saying they've had to escort couples out of the clubs, and that's a swinger club. You're, I think, going to Houston fairly soon without giving
am.
dates away. I don't like to share your private life, but you should definitely check out the Night Game while you're there. Love that club. Amazing. But they've
Okay.
had to escort couples out because they get into little squabbles and fights. And I feel like that is, we're going to talk about the things that are avoidable
when you're getting into the scene. And I feel like squabbles in the club is definitely something that you can avoid if you put the work in. So right. I do have the questions for you. If you actually have that up as well, I don't want to like mess up my screen. I don't know what it does when I pull this up, but
no problem.
Okay. So I really do want to dive into swinging for beginners because this is really what this episode is going to be about. It sounds like you have a lot of people come to you. Now, do you have a lot of newbies coming to you for help?
Yes. And you know what? Defining what a newbie is
yes, let's do right? That.
You can be 55 years old. And if you're exploring something new, you're a newbie. Welcome to the rest of us. For the ex-Mormon swinger, they have a lot of curiosity. Am I good in bed? I don't know. I've only ever had one person. What is it like to touch other vulvas? What is it like to explore other people's bodies? What's it like to have other people explore my body? So curiosity is at an all-time high because the ex-Mormon has existential jetpacks on. That means by the time they finally leave and go through all of the work that it takes, and I'm not advocating one way or the other. You guys need to do your religious, whatever you do. But by the time they go through that much effort, they very often have the viewpoint, I'm getting old, I'm getting old, I'm getting older by the day. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. We got to hurry up and do this. And so one of the greatest things about them is their curiosity, which can also kill the cat there. And I think a big mistake is feeling like you have to do it all right now. They take yes. too big of a steps too fast.
Yes. Agree. They just want to be the horse in the race that just goes. And then usually that horse fast out the gate trips. And I don't know. It's just, you can't really, have you heard that term? You're only as fast as your slowest person. I feel like it's been so overused, but in a way it still holds some truth. And that was definitely something that my partner had to learn with me because it boggles my mind. I left my religion because of social issues. He left because of doctrine. And when he left because of the doctrine, immediately he was like, let's start trying edibles. He started reading The Ethical Slut, and then he was like, oh, look at this. Let's try swinging. And I'm like, hold up. Like, this is the stuff I was scared of. Like, I don't want to do all this, but he was like, let's go. So do you find it to be pretty common for maybe in a male-female dynamic, the male to be the one who kind of wants to move forward with things, and then usually the woman is the one who's a little hesitant?
Yes. And it's not because women don't have a voice, they do. But if you're talking to me about LDS culture and mm-hmm. Western culture, women are still socialized, traumatized, is what I like to say, to not have a voice, right? Yield to the more masculine, more powerful. Now, I have 3 children that are in their young 20s. I know that that is vastly shifting, but if you're 40 or above, and if you're in your 30s, you're in that tweener zone. So women, we've been socialized, traumatized not to have a voice.
Yeah. And I think it's really hard too. Just from like an LDS woman's perspective, you're also kind of told to, I don't even feel like I was ever told anything about my sexuality. It was always my outward appearance and, you know, submitting to my husband. So this idea, and then also, you hear about the LDS church, and as a woman who is, you know, in the modern day LDS church, you almost kind of look at it as somewhat comforting that you're in the sector that your husband only has you. So you're like, oh, this is comforting. And then, you leave the church, and then he's like, well, I saved myself for marriage and I'd never done anything. And I kind of feel robbed of this experience, but I want to stay with you. but we should explore this. And you're just kind of like, hold on a second. This was comfortable for me, and now this is uncomfortable. And so I can definitely see that being a very common thing that you would see, you know, with people coming out.
Oh, sure. The cultural taboo, which is bigger than just the religious taboo, but we have been socialized to be heterosexual. Marriage is for a man and a woman only. And if you go beyond that, man, you've got a lot to pay for, hell to pay. That has been ingrained for centuries.
Yeah, that's not just a Mormon.
Our Victorian sisters started that, ancestors, yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I actually can tell you why that is. I actually have a whole paper on this, but the very long story short is it was socialization. When we were cavemen and we were nomadic following the food, and it was survival of the clan, the woman had her pick of who she wanted to lie with to make babies for survival of the clan.
Wow.
Then when we came into agriculture, agriculture was the demise of the female sexuality. And I call it power, paternity. What do I call it? Power, paternity, and I'll think of the third one. Oh, possessions. Power, paternity, and possessions. That's what put the shackles on our sexuality. Because once we started farming ground, men didn't want to leave all that they had worked so hard for to anything that was not, or anyone that was not their bloodline. So women started to have to stay home. That's what that was about. Then when we got into bigger numbers, the socialization of communities means, hey, who belongs to these running around? Somebody's got to take care of those. We can't just have kids that don't belong anywhere that aren't being taken care of. And so it's a whole framework, and the church stepped in to own sexuality. And they tied it to your salvation and your behavior and a host of other things. And I know this is a long story, but in the 70s, you know who took sexuality back or has been trying to since the 70s? The scientists.
Okay, I was gonna say hippies, but.
That's Masters and Johnson and Kinsey. Man, wow. They stepped in, Kinsey blew the lid. If you don't know that movie, watch the movie called Kinsey.
Kinsey, okay.
It's a documentary movie, whatever they call those. Anyway, it's a lot of the facts are real, even though they've made it dramatic. Kinsey stepped in and blew the lid off of telling people what's really going on. So our culture said, everybody's saving sex before marriage and nobody masturbates. And Kinsey said, yeah, well, I've talked to hundreds of thousands of people, and this is actually what's going on. Yeah, really normalizing and bringing some reality that what socially we were trained to do and say that we were doing, we really weren't.
Wow.
Giving us permission. And there's your hippies. They came in after that in the 60s.
And it's just so hard because it's like, I feel like, well, for example, it's like the pinky toes going extinct based on like how we wear our footwear now. So it's like our bodies are changing and adapting. And it's so clear based off of what you said, you know, because I think a lot of people are like, well, I feel it here. And I feel like it's just, I can only be with one person. And it sounds like it really is just kind of a thing that we've just adapted to. And now that I'm in a whole other space, I learned that like I was locked in this box that I unlocked, and now I'm exploring, and I'm like, wow, I was only using a very small part of my brain or my heart or whatever it was that I was feeling. It was like I was in this one small little space, and then you expand. And I feel like I should be on an edible and really dive into that one. But I mean, it's just crazy to me what you just said. It makes sense.
That was a lot of history in a few minutes, but let's bring it back into people exploring the lifestyle, people who were monogamous and wanted to be, we will presume, and lived it. How do they bridge from that to opening their marriage without cratering or their relationship without cratering the relationship. That is by far and away one of the biggest obstacles to overcome because of our socialization, our legal laws. I mean, there's so many layers to this in addition to religion and what was modeled for you as okay, what's been modeled is not okay. And anyway, everything's on the table, including your happiness, hello, including a more vivid life. What happens to a lot of people once they stay in a particular swim lane, right? Monogamy at, well, you're stuck with me and I'm stuck with you. And so we're just going to slowly die death as we march forward so that we can go to the grave saying we were married by God for this long. What happened to happiness? What happened to getting our needs met? What happened to the juice?
Yeah. What would you say is the, and again, it's like, I feel like there's so many things that you have to really work through to even begin the conversation of swinging when you leave the religion as a couple, but let's just kind of jump over a couple of the things that we really do need to do a whole other episode on. But let's say you have a couple who comes to you and, you know, they say, and again, I do, well, not even again, I do want to tell the listeners that you have a whole course dedicated to these steps. So you're definitely going to check that out.
Thank you. I actually have two courses for the person who's curious. Hey, my partner and I have worked it out enough. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trepidatiously but curiously wanting to go to a party, an event, a resort. How can we prepare for that? I do have a class. It's called Sex Positive Event Essentials. You can find it on my website, Dr. Carrie O'Neill, DrCarrieOneal.
I will link this too.
It's okay, dynamite. Okay, great. All right. So this class was created.
These are the people I'm talking about too. The people that I was just describing are these people. So this is perfect.
Yeah. Okay. So the people that, and I will go back to how do we get over the hump in the beginning, but for those people that just want to check it out, but they're not sure if it's safe, they don't know what is expected, they don't know what they're supposed to do, what they're supposed to wear, what even goes on and on and on. So much of concerns can turn into a big enough mountain that you'll never explore. And I'm going to be the first to tell you, there's so much opportunity out there. And the majority of it is unbelievably quite safe, and they're friendly, and they're people just like me and you. Mm-hmm. It'd be a shame if you didn't. So I put a course together. The course will help you understand consent. It'll help you understand the roles that people play. So it's not just people going and getting totally naked and having sex, right? Because that's going to be expected. Right? Who knows all the different things that people think? No, there's actually, I have a couple of slides on this. I bet there's at least 22 roles of a person you will find at one of these events, from cheerleader mm-hmm. to voyeur, the people who just like to watch.
Yep.
And then they take that home and they play it out, to the people that are full on, all the way up to the black belts. Yeah. And just that little piece, I hope you're hearing permission. You don't have to go and participate at level 10, full on sex. You don't. You could go, and maybe the win for you is just to show up. Hello, right? Just to show up and take a couple of eyeballs full of what all is or isn't happening. That could be a win.
Yeah, I think there's so much pressure, and I do want to talk about how to get over that hump, but there's definitely a lot of pressure, I think, for, it's so hard because people have kids. So they're like, if we're going to go to an event, we have to do something. And it's like, there's just, that's one of the objectives that might pop up and you're like, let's just not even go, you know, if there's just too much pressure. But it's interesting that you say that there's so many different roles, because I even now am reminding myself that I can go to an event and choose not to participate, even though I've participated in the past.
Which is consent culture. I just need to layer that in and give you the vocabulary. Consent culture says, just because you were Catwoman at the last party swinging from the rafters, if you decide that that is not what is right for you tonight, mm-hmm. you have every right to say no politely with a smile and still have a great time.
Yes, that's consent. I have culture. To remember that. There's events I'm invited to and I'm just like, I don't want to go because then I'm, you know, people are going to want to hook up and then I don't want to. And I have to remind myself that my attendance is not consent. My words is consent. Yeah. So you're thank exactly you for right. that. I kind of needed that little coaching right there. But how would you, because we definitely went into, you know, the different roles. And I think that's definitely a crucial part of it, especially for the people who are curious and coming to you and saying, hey, you know, we're curious and we want to attend a party. That's great. So you have the couple that's left and they feel, because sometimes I almost feel like you'll find couples where it's almost evenly matched, where they're both like, yeah, we were both virgins when we left and yeah, we want to explore this. So how do we do it? And I am always amazed by those people because not everyone comes from a traumatic background. So, you know, let's just say those people are the people who, you know, that's them. But then you also have the people who've worked through the trauma and that's kind of where they're at too, where they're both ready. So would you say there's a type of conversation that needs to be had between the couple before they really go into it?
Always is time for the conversation. And no matter where you're at, trauma, no trauma, both are a thumbs up, one's a halfway. The very first step, and I gave it to you earlier, I'm going to give it to you again, is having the conversation about, you know, babe, we've changed a lot about everything. We've changed our car, our education. We got a whole bunch of kids that we never had when we got married. We've changed everything, but we've never even taken a look at, is our sex still meeting our needs? Right? Let's just talk about that. Are we having it as often as we want? Are we having it as interesting as we want? Have our bodies changed that now we need to take some things off the table or put some things on? Start having the conversation about, are your needs being met? And you can use the tool of adaptation. We've adapted everything, but not this. Is it okay for us to make our own rules in our own bedroom? Because remember, whether you're still active LDS or you're coming out, and I'll just say that because that's your
audience. Yeah, I think for sure.
You're still up against a lot of beliefs and modeling. So baby steps will win this race here, but starting to communicate, starting to just kind of pull on questioning, what's right for us? Are we getting our needs met? If we're not, my gosh, that does not make you wrong. And it shouldn't make me wrong either. We're living in a house, by the way, that could use some new countertops and some new carpet, right? We do this in our world naturally, change, upgrade, modify. So sweetheart, could we just talk about sex?
I think that's amazing. And I'm sure you've heard of sex contracts. Have you heard of the sex contracts?
You'll have to give me your definition.
So when my partner and I had left, he was the one who had brought up, you know, all those things that he wanted us to start exploring. And I was kind of like, I was barely okay with pornography. Like I was just getting comfortable with that. But that was a lot of my own conditioning and just kind of wanting to control. I found comfort in our sex life based on the conditions the church had handed us. A lot of it was my own past trauma and just upbringing and stuff. So I found comfort in that. And I ignored my own like sexual desires. There were things that I really liked that he had no idea about. So when he had gone and saw a specialist, he was talking about just a lot of other things. And he did bring up our sex life. And the therapist was like, okay, well, here's this document. It was like a PDF thing and it went over, it was a sex contract. And it really says, you know, you're handed when you get married, you know, you come up with your financial contract, your living, you know, your living arrangements and the contract around that. But the one thing that gets handed to you, you know, in religion is your sex contract. They hand you your sex contract. Well, now that we don't have this anymore, we don't have a set, like we don't have one. So it's amazing. It sounds like it's like a strict thing, the word contract, but in a way it was so freeing for us just to be able to sit down. And we had this sheet that was, you know, had all these, you know, kind of exactly what you were saying, actually, like how often do we want to have sex? You know, what's the ideal time? How can we manage each other's libidos based off of, you know, adaption with children and work and stuff. But one of the, my favorite part was the one words that we had to do yes, no, and maybe. So it was like anal, bondage. There were words we both had to look up because we were like, what is that? Furry, like furry sex. And it was just, it was so cool to go through that and just, you know, yes, no, maybes. And we still check back with each other through the contract because things change. But that's something that we did before we really dove into anything with the lifestyle.
All right. What I would tell you is when I'm working with clients, and definitely in the class that I'm building, it'll launch this fall, we call it relationship agreements. Mm-hmm. So we don't just focus on sex, but in your relationship agreement is what works for you. How are we going to play? How aren't we going to play? What is a boundary that's not going to be crossed? Let me just pick condom use, right? Uh-huh. We agree that if we're playing out in the wild, we will use safer sex practices. And when that relationship agreement gets breached, what will we do? So I guess since you're asking me about a sex contract, I'm not really a fan of that because I think we're bigger than just sex, but I do understand it as a tool. Mm-hmm. Hey, if it's never been talked about, let's just get down in the weeds and figure it out.
Yeah.
And to your point, and for your listeners, that yes, no, maybe, there's a lot of, you can Google it. There's lots of different versions, but by far the most rigorous is one by Scarlatine, S-C-A-R-L-A-T-E-E-N, Scarlatine, yes, no, maybe. And you know what? That's such a great tool for opening. There's your question again. How do you open the dialogue? How do we even know what we want to do? Well, let's go to the yes, no, maybe, and let's have a date night or three, if that's what it takes to get through it.
Me three.
And see what we want to do. Exactly. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me of that.
Yeah. I actually really like, I'm going to have to take your course though, because I think, like I had said, it took me 3 days to get through this. And I like how you say yours is more of like a relationship agreement. Because I think what you just said, we are really more than just sex. And, you know, I feel like men, they're really excited about sex. Usually they think with their genitalia, not always, but women, you know, we very much are in our heads. And I like to say in our hearts. So I think diving into a sex contract where it's like, okay, let's talk about, you know, gaping and double penetration and all this stuff. It's like, hold on. Like, I don't like this. Cause it was hard hearing the things that he was into, you know? So I'm super curious to check out your relationship agreement portion of your course. Cause
thank you.
I'm going to have to go and check that one out. Cause
an agreement versus a rule is a collaborative.
Yes.
One thing that can't be said enough, when you are in the lifestyle, you're going to need your voice. And sometimes these relationships come in and he can't figure out why she can't just do more or show up more, only to very quickly find out there's a power dynamic in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't have a voice. And so, sir, I would have, you know, in a kinder way, but if you want your partner to show up in the bedroom and throw you down and initiate sex and have some ideas about what they would like to do, then you need to give that partner a voice in the kitchen, the living room, and in the office.
What I will say is I feel like in the lifestyle, women really do have more of a voice in this dynamic versus your traditional vanilla club.
I completely agree about that. Yeah. And you know what else helps support the lifestyle? I often get the concern of safety, which should always be a concern to consider. Mm-hmm. You know, what's beautiful about the lifestyle is the community's peer support. Mm-hmm. You get somebody hassling a woman who has said no, and you'll find people stepping in. Are you okay? Dude, I think the lady says no, right? Yep. That's again, consent culture. And it's getting stronger by the year in the lifestyle community.
Yeah. It's definitely getting better. What are your thoughts? So you did like, and I think this will help the newbies, because when I thought of swingers, before we'd even started exploring it and seeing it firsthand, you think of wife swap. And it doesn't feel very empowering for a woman to know that old term, because it really was throw your keys in the bowl and kiss your wife goodnight. Like wife swap, you know, I'm going to take your wife, you take my wife, but it's not like that anymore based off of what I've experienced.
Well, I'm loving that you said that, because in the Sex Positive Event Essentials, I actually talk about the history of consent. And when you talk about wife swap, so for your listeners, it's where everybody would go to the party, put the key fob in the bowl. And mm-hmm. at some point in the party, they would exit, and whoever's key fob you got was who you had to go home with. Very coercion culture, no voice. Also at that time, in history, you have to pay attention to the sociology. Women did not have economic power. They didn't have much of a voice at all. Well, after hashtag Me Too, which has been a long time coming, lots of other things happened to support it. But I'll tell you, after 2017 and hashtag Me Too was the shot heard around the world that is not going away, mm-hmm. there's absolutely a platform. You will be held accountable for what you do or don't do. And everyone, male and female alike, you have a platform for your voice. So learning how to be very clear about your yeses and your nos will ensure your good time and your safety and your enjoyment overall with the lifestyle.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like that's just so comforting to know this. And, you know, it really took us as the newbies, you know, taking those steps towards experiencing it to really learn that, you know, swingers, wife swapping, that's not really a thing that's happening now. However, I will say you still have the old fashioned people where maybe that is still a thing and you'll see them, but I feel like it's definitely being weeded out. Kind of like what you said, you know, with the hashtag Me Too movement. Would you say that it's been fairly recent that old fashioned type of swinging has kind of been?
So I think until we've had 7 or 8 generations modeling good behavior, we've still got it in pockets of people. What I prefer is to hang out in communities where the peer pressure helps move the needle on things like consent. So that those are a lot of words. The short story is there's so many people playing in the lifestyle today that if you find that you don't have a voice and your no is not being heard, find another group. There are groups that will honor it, and keep an eye and an ear open for those groups that don't, and don't go there to the place. Don't go to their events. Don't go to their house parties. Yeah.
I love that. It's so true. And, you know, for the newbies out there too, who do choose to go and experience a club, I really say it's good to have more of an open mind. And, you know, if you have a, because here's the thing, I actually had good experiences before I had a bad experience. But sometimes it goes the other way, where somebody has a bad experience before they even have a good experience, but they're less likely to find good experiences because they just already deemed the whole thing as just bad. And I'm assuming in your courses, what you had said, you know, you tell people, you know, what to wear, da, da, da. You probably help people find the proper places to look, or do you have affiliate links or?
So I have a lifestyle navigation course, the one coming out in fall, and I have an entire last module dedicated to finding your people. How do you find your people?
Like a house hunter, here's your option.
Yeah. But you know what? I would actually, since you're asking me directly, I'd actually like to mention, since you're Utah, Idaho, yes, a lot of people.
Are you about to drop some recommendations?
I am.
Oh my gosh. You guys need to write this down. I have this question all the time and I'm like, go out of state. I don't know. So tell me.
So there are a lot of clubs out of state. It depends on what state you're in. Probably you shouldn't go over all of that, but one that I really appreciate, man, I appreciate Risque Soiree so much.
I've heard about it many times.
RISQUEE. SIOREE.com, Risque Soiree.
Is there okay? I can drop some links too.
Okay, do drop a link, because the host has been committed to consent before consent culture was consent culture. Uh-huh. He's been hosting parties almost 20 years now. He's got a vast array of different proclivities and styles and themes and things you can do. And one of the things I enjoy about going to any of his events is if there's trouble, he's actually got guardians that walk around and there's somebody to flag and say, hey, somebody's not taking no for an answer. Wow. And especially for new people, it's so important and fun to go to an event knowing nothing's going to be expected of you. The event has play areas and cool off areas and just social areas. Ta-da! If you just make it and stay in the social area, that might be a win for you.
I believe they have a website. I think I've seen their website. They throw parties and mm-hmm. and all of that. So I will reach out and get permission, because I've had a situation in the past where I was, you know, shared stuff and then it didn't really go so well. But I have seen their page. So I know they have one. And I believe, don't they make you go through a consent course prior to attending?
Well, if you're interested in the course I've been talking about, Sex Positive Event Essentials, he picked up the course and he goes, my God, this is what I've been looking for. Uh-huh. And he's actually made his community take this course. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, before they can come to an event, so that everybody's on the same page. And I mean, obviously we're colleagues, we're sex community leaders, but my point is, when I've checked in with him, he's like, Carrie, unbelievable. People come ready to play. The drama's down. The over-intoxication is down. I just don't have near the problems that I used to have.
That's which amazing. Is why I love that you're the one that came up with that course, because I had no idea, but I've had people send me this Risque Soiree and I've looked at it and, you know, I've wanted to go. And then I saw that there was a consent course. So I'm like, okay, well, this is good. And you're the one who came up with that course. That's amazing. So that's Risque Soiree. And is there any other ones you would recommend in Utah? And I know it's so underground that there's not many of them, but.
You know, there's a bunch of, there's a site. I want to say, if you're new and you go to this a swingers dating site, sdc.com.
Oh, okay.
It can be like the carnival. It can be like a fire hose in you in the, it can be a lot for a newbie if you're not used to seeing a lot of freely taken pictures and photograph conversations and forums and things like that. But I like sdc.com. If you go to my website, I think I even have a
affiliate link,
a coupon. I have a coupon for you if you go through my site for membership. But what I like about SDC is they have an education They're really committed to education. So they have that element on their site. They also have people who travel. So to talk to the confidentiality piece you just brought up, many people have high profile jobs. They have family, they have reasons. They don't want to play where they live.
Right.
No problem there. You are considered an out-of-town fucker then. And SDC gives you an avenue where if you're going to go to Miami or Houston or Dallas or Denver or wherever you're at, to type in, hey, we're going to be in town on this day. Are there any people or places that have things that sex positive events or things going on?
That's amazing. I love that. I actually did not know SDC. I've been talking a lot about 3Fun. That was one of the ones that I was talking about. And I think for the new age scene, and I've never been on SDC, so I don't know like the age range for that. I know for 3Fun, it's more like a Tinder. So you just, have you been on 3Fun before?
I have not.
So it's like Tinder. You just swipe left, swipe right, bios, pictures, verified. So, but I will say the first party I ever attended came from a 3Fun invite. Somebody sent me a Halloween party and I was like, okay, let's go. This looks pretty legit. But SDC.com, that I've already written that one down. I'd love to check that one out. And I know there's Swingular as well. We've talked to a few people off of Swingular, but not a lot has happened on my end with that one.
I think for your money, I am. And for your money, I think SDC does a great job.
Okay.
Because it puts you globally in touch with other people of like mind. They also have verified. I mean, anybody can be a flake. That's universal. But I just really like that platform for finding your people.
Where you're at.
They also have a lot of events and like they advertise cruises and a bunch of fun things.
I'm looking through the website right now and I actually think it looks a little bit better than the Swingular one.
It's a lot easier to navigate than most. Yeah.
And it's also got, it looks like it has a lot of educational things as well. So
great. If you end up getting there, off of my website, you can, but if you end up there, find me. I have a community there.
That's awesome. And I was going to say as well, and I'm looking at it, it says Florida's number one largest club, because they do have a lot of educational things on there too. So definitely find Dr. Carrie O'Neill on there. And you said you have an affiliate discount link on your website.
Off of my own.
And I just want to remind the listeners here that you really do specialize in such a unique dynamic with the swinger world because of, you know, your clientele being out of Utah. So maybe if you're on here, you have some stuff that's kind of more targeted to that as well, but definitely check out your course. So let's go ahead and just jump into another question here. I feel like we could sit on so many of these topics for a really long time. This is just gonna have to be a repeat thing. Okay. What would you say is, I mean, we've already talked about, you know, can you say that you've seen a change in how Utah's, well, actually maybe we haven't. Have you seen a change in how Utah's handling their sex lives?
Well, I can tell you my practice has been full since 2016. I've hired more people. I take more spots. I haven't seen a slowdown. I have seen a club able to be active and continue running in business. That's something. And Risque Soiree has been doing it for 20 years and they made it through COVID. So
amazing.
Believe me, the lifestyle is alive and well.
I feel like it's thriving and growing.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, you know, since you're asking me about history, I was in the lifestyle back in the days of Craigslist. And I remember laughing, saying, seeing, hey, looking for X, Y, and Z, we're, and you have to be LDS too. keep it on the down low or something like that. But we're LDS looking for other LDS people to play with, must be discreet. That made me laugh that they would say that in their ad.
Yeah, it's funny. I recall a conversation with a former friend. We were at their house and it was husband and wife, and we all four of us, you know, we were all LDS, and she had made a slight remark that I look back on to this day. And I think to myself, I wonder if they were swingers, but she was talking about how people, and this was in Rexburg, Idaho, she was telling us about how there was this group of people, and the way she said it, she's just like, oh, there's this group of people that go to the temple, and in the prayer circle, they swap wives. And she's like, isn't that strange? And she just kind of looked at me in a way. And I was just like, yeah, that's weird. But now that I look back, I'm like, maybe they were swingers. She was testing the waters with us. But, and I do remember being on Craigslist back in 2013 and just bored looking through missed connections. And I would see the other stuff too. And at the time I was like, oh, I shouldn't be on here. But it's just funny that you mentioned Craigslist and everything. With the, from what I see, this new age growth in the lifestyle in Utah, I feel like with this growth, you're going to see a lot of, I want to say, common mistakes that are being made. What would you say is a common mistake or mistakes that you see couples making when they get into the lifestyle?
Okay, I see what you're thinking about the growth. And you are right about the growth. And the growth is not just limited to Utah, for what it's worth.
Mm-hmm. What was swing talk?
Growth is worldwide. And the 2030 somethings are even more committed to it than my age bracket. So anyway, it's alive and well. What are the common mistakes? The taking too big of a steps too fast, wanting all of it. And how you can help yourself with that is be aware. One of the biggest mistakes people make is they get a little bit of liquid courage and then they go to the party. And I'm telling you, there is an erotic vibe at all of these places. Yes. Because of the energy. So now you're intoxicated or whatever you might be on, and you're in this energetic vibe, and very quickly you can become over intoxicated. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not even one to be that or drink that way. I'll be doggone if three times I became over intoxicated, and I'm not that way. I just didn't even understand it. I wasn't Dr. O'Neill at the time, but you just can get carried away with it. So back off on this liquid courage. Baby steps wins the race. And even if you just go and keep your eyes open. So that was tip one. Here's tip two. Just go and keep your eyes open and talk to your partner. What are you like? What are you seeing? Mm-hmm. And watching either the takedown or the engagement or whatever it is, and take that home and play with it in fantasy play. I like to say the one that got away. And you know what? You'll get a real feeling about jealousy, how much jealousy is in the mix, because just playing in your mind with a third or fourth person, mm-hmm. if you have a jealousy issue with one or both partners, you're going to feel it and sense it flare up. So,
and then that's when you need to step back and work on that.
And because it was a baby step and it doesn't really have a name to what these feelings are, right? It's not Mary and her number's right here in my phone. Now it's kind of an affordable close miss, right? That's why I'm saying baby steps, because when people jump in, they get even, I'm just going to say, beyond their relationship agreements or beyond what they thought they had agreed to or beyond what they are able to handle, swimming back and repairing that is a lot harder to do. It's doable. It's a lot harder to do than if you took baby steps. Okay, how we doing? Okay, good. How about this? Mm-hmm. Okay, good one. Okay, push the limit again. How we doing? That baby steps will win the race on this.
That's fantastic advice, because I do think people dive in very quickly, and that liquid courage, I think that being your number one thing is so important, because especially as a woman who, you know, entered into this a little bit, I was definitely way more uncomfortable than my partner. You know, you go in and you just drink to feel comfortable. And I feel like either you get drunk and angry, or you get drunk and super unable to consent to anything, and you're just go with the flow, Mary. And then you wake up the next day and you're just like, all those, you know, feelings that you were masking with alcohol comes to the surface, and then you're just not okay.
Beautiful. Perfect, Sarah. I'm going to add one more. You either get drunk and mad over something, mm-hmm. you get to a place where you cannot consent, which consent yes. is your job. You might have guardians, if you're lucky, around, but your body, your physical and emotional safety are your job. This yep. is why voice is so important to develop. And the third thing I would add to that is when you get too intoxicated, you don't read the facts or the play accurately. Could we say that? Lots of misinterpretations happen yes. when there's over intoxication or drug use. Yeah, too much.
Yeah. And then I think, unfortunately, it's like, I think what people don't understand is there's, and I'm assuming your course covers this, so we don't have to go too much into it, but you have your own, you know, set of rules, expectations, code words with your partner. And then you're talking to other people who should have their own as well. So it's, you know, the whole circle of truth thing. So it's like, you kind of go in at the circle of truth with your own partner, and then they have their circle of truth. And if you're just going in, you know, intoxicated, you might abandon yours and then get pulled into someone else's. And you hear it so often that you have these couples that, you know, will steal wives, and then the husband's kind of like, what the heck? Like, you know, so there's just so many things, and you want to be, you know, fully aware and have the ability to consent to avoid having to swim a whole pool length back and try exactly. to work on things. And alcohol is not going to help you take those baby steps. You're going to make some mistakes. So
right. I want to actually go back. You said something, you're only as fast as your slowest person. I actually have never heard it that way. And oh, yeah. I talk about Chinese food, minimum effective dose, right? We have five people for Chinese food. Who can handle it blistering hot? One person. Who needs it medium? Four people. So what do you order? The lowest, the minimum effective dose, you order medium, and then the other guy can add more to his or hers. So you're right about that. So whatever the threshold is for what you do or don't do, yeah, it's like Chinese food. You go with the lowest one and then you work up from there, or you just stay there, but you don't order blistering hot where only one person can enjoy it. Right. We yeah. learned this very young.
Yeah, okay. That's very selfish. And this, you know, the truth of the matter is too, a lot of couples are leaving the LDS church, or in general, you know, you might find, I know for a lot of people that I'm talking to right now, unfortunately, compatibility might not be the thing. So I think in a way, if you're with somebody who, and this is speaking to the other half who might be the slowest person, if you're with somebody that is disregarding your feelings and is just plowing through and saying, nope, you're coming with me, that to me is somewhat of a red flag. Like, you might want to really talk to somebody about that. Don't ever get pulled into the lifestyle if you're not ready for it.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I do have some people, and that's a question I was going to ask you. And you had a thought.
I was going to say, because if you don't have your voice, if your yes isn't clear, your no's not clear or respected, then you're not going to do well. Even if you are dragged, ultimately that team is not going to do well. So if you're the dragger, listen to that. If you're the one that has a tendency to get dragged, you have a right to say no long before you even get to the event.
You have to have your voice. And, you know, I know there's the other side of it, the faster person who's like, what about my voice? You know, I want to do this. And they're saying no. And it's like, really, I think having, you know, some form of counseling would be good, because
that's when you see Dr. O'Neill.
You go see Dr. Carrie O'Neill here, because in a way, it's almost like you have, everyone kind of wants to demonize the person who wants to move forward, and then kind of look at the slowest person like, well, this person's not ready. But then sometimes you have that dynamic where the slowest person is really just, they don't want to do anything. And it's almost like a form of control. And it's not always the case, but it could be. And that could really just, it's just not compatible. Like, you're just not compatible.
So that's when you go to motive. And that, honestly, you need to come in and see a professional to really parse out what the motive is.
Yes. Yeah. And that actually segues into a question I get all the time, more so than the, what clubs do you recommend in Utah? I get asked all the time by some of my male listeners is, how do I get my wife to be like you? And they'll say, I've tried everything. Like, and it's just like, well, I think that's your problem in a way, is you're trying to get your wife to be somebody else. So what would you say? Because have you ever had that question before, is how do I get my wife to open up?
Oh, sure. How do I get her to have a threesome? Or how do I get what I want?
Yeah. And how do I get it? Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's review some of the things we've already talked about, just to reinforce that these pieces are like keys on a piano. And when you learn to play them together, they work. But how do I get my wife to do something that I want to do? Number one, start opening up that dialogue. Start talking about adaptability. Hey, babe, we've done it missionary for 25 years, and I would like to try something different. Not that you're wrong or that I'm wrong, but remember those countertops that we just remodeled? I would like to have this dialogue about remodeling our beliefs and behaviors. Mm-hmm. So try to go gingerly. What'll happen a lot of times is the person is overzealous. I haven't been laid in 3 goddamn years. When is it going to change? Right?
You were in a 20-year sexless marriage.
Yeah, right. So I don't fault that person either, because they've built up, because they've been patient, because they've tried the soft shoe, because they've tried, right? Very many times they just want to blow their partner away with the fire hose. So if you're that listener, you know, be mindful, that will never work. If you are that listener and it's been that kind of pattern, coming to somebody who understands sexual dynamics and respect of each other's voice. I'll tell you, I get this all the time, and it never surprises me when it's glaring that she does not have a voice in that relationship. She doesn't have any power. So she's never going to throw you down or do you the way that you're imagining you'd like to be done, when she can't even vote on where to go to vacation because she's not allowed to have much vote or say so.
You know, that's really interesting, because I do think as a woman, you know, with a good man who's not gonna like rape you or make you go and do things you don't want to do, but if you don't have the voice in any other way, you have the voice to say, no, I don't want to have sex with you. And so it's almost like that's the one thing. And then, you know, you need that connection, and there's just so many things. So I feel like if I get this question, I'm just gonna send them your way, because it's such a loaded question, and there's so many things going on in their own personal relationship that I never know how to answer it. I'm just like, I can't tell you. I don't know your dynamics. I don't have time to learn your dynamics, but clearly this is something you're wanting to do. And to be honest, if your partner's not wanting to open up with you and you're writing me, she's not going to be happy about that. So the last thing I want to do is give advice from my perspective on how I've done it. And then you, because I've seen this a couple times, and I feel like I'm almost seeing this now going on with somebody else. And it almost seems like this partner, this husband, is kind of coercing the partner to do all the same things that I've done to deconstruct my sexuality. And I'm seeing some red flags coming out, and I'm like, that's the problem. Like, you're just trying to make this person like someone else. So I guess my advice, listeners, if you're going to write me this question, or if you have, and I haven't been able to answer you, I would say you need to just go see Dr. Carrie O'Neill for a Zoom session, because it's so much deeper. And I feel like you would speak to the woman side of things pretty well, you know, coming from your own trauma, because there's just so much, there's a lot.
Well, to that point, it's not always an overzealous partner pushing, pushing, and she doesn't have power. Very many times it is. But very often, it wouldn't surprise me to hear that somebody's got some sex trauma in there. Yes. And it's never, never, never been mentioned, even after 30 years of marriage. Mm-hmm. This is a safe space. And to work through hard things like trauma will open up all kinds of minds and beliefs and behaviors about sex that they never had before. So go gingerly. Pushing will never win the race. Never, never, never. Get some help to help figure out where the sticking points are.
Yeah. And it's not just a one size fits all, like, you know, do this, this, and this, and then you'll be fine. It's very unique. And I know from my own, like my own experience, it was trauma. That's what it was. I've always been a sexual person, but it was 100% trauma, just everything from childhood, everything. And once I was able to work through that and then get to that place where we were like, okay, let's take our baby steps, it's been good ever since. So fantastic. I still have to do this, and I've learned, and we'll have to do a whole other episode on trauma, but I have learned that the trauma will never really go away. It just gets quieter and quieter, and you might have a little re-trigger, and you maybe you have a different perspective on it. I know in the lifestyle, I did have somewhat of a little re-trigger. However, I'm strong, because rather than disassociating for years, I recognized it within a month, but still a month is better than years. And I confronted the person who did the thing in the lifestyle, and I cut him out. But I learned, like, are you going to go into a lifestyle situation and everything's going to be fine because you've done this work? No, you might have a re-trigger. You might have something new come up, but you're in a safe space because it's not common. But I feel like it's good to have a therapist or, you know, a counselor, a coach, a professional sexologist, somebody you can go to when these things happen. Cause that's what I had. And I was able to speak to somebody, and they were like, do you not see how badass you are right now? Like, this happened years ago and you didn't recognize it for years. And it took you a few weeks to recognize it this time. So
let's have that talk on trauma, and we'll take it top down. Yes,
we're going to have to do that, especially for those listeners who are like, how do I get my wife? How do I get my husband? Cause sometimes the husbands aren't.
I'm going to have a live Q&A.
Right. I do have one more question in regards to, you know, getting your partner to want to open up and explore sexually. Would you say that maybe, you know, cause you have asexual people, would you say that maybe it just kind of chalks down to compatibility and some people are just not into it?
Okay. So you're saying two partners and one wants to explore and one doesn't. Is that because they're incompatible, or is that because one is asexual? There was a lot.
I know what I'm saying is, and I hate to say this, cause it's almost like, I don't want people who might have that trauma in the past or something, use that as like a coverall, like, well, I'm just not into it. It's easy to say that, you know, what? We'll just say this. If you're struggling with your partner and wanting, you know, them wanting to take those baby steps, even, I would just say, go see Dr. Carrie O'Neill.
Okay. Okay. Excellent.
An excuse. So,
and start the dialogue.
Yes.
Instead of fighting, how come we never have sex? Here we are again. You said you'd change and you're not. You said you'd make changes and you haven't. Instead of that, start with asking why. Hey, actually, you know what? I have two things to say. I have a website, drcarrieoneal.com. There's no apostrophe, N-E-A-L. But under the recommended resources, we were talking about Risque Soiree and SDC. I have a picture. You can just hit the link and you can get a discount. Also, under recommended resources, there's a place called free resources. Go get the hard AF conversation formula. AF is a pop culture acronym, but it's the hard AF conversation formula using the A to F process. And this, I know, that's my engineering background. The speaker does the A, the B, the C, and the listener does the D, the E, the F. So you keep asking me, Sarah, about how to approach hard things. Mm-hmm. This would be a great tool for your listeners. It'll feel contrived in the beginning, but if you can't seem to break the water with adaptability and just asking questions, the hard AF conversation formula could help you here with whatever you're looking for, whether it's how come we are not sexually exploring? I would like to do it differently. I need something different. Any of those and every version of them are hard. Hard to say to your partner when you've been fighting about them for years. So go to the hard AF. I am a brain scientist. That's another thing you get with me. I'm very methodical and I pick out patterns. And then I double down with brain science. And that is the 1-2 punch for how I do what I do. But the hard AF formula is actually, and you can read this in the piece, it bookends your brain so that you can actually deliver that hard thing, fingers crossed, hopefully without the arguments that you've been experiencing every other time.
Yeah, I think this episode definitely, I love how it's the beginner's discussion to swinging. And it, you know, there is that awesome course you have, you know, where you really do dig into all of that. But I think this discussion here today is a discussion that you might have actually in your course, but I think it really sheds a lot of light and reality into how this conversation usually starts. And it almost feels like a conflict. But I feel like today, well, just, I know for me, when my partner came to me, I was like, oh, and we've touched on that, I think, quite a bit today. And I really hope the listeners can hear and just to kind of circle back and just collect everything as we're wrapping up into rapid fire questions, which are fun. Those are fun. So,
okay. Let me take my glasses off. I'm ready.
I was going to say though, I think it's important that we kind of just drop some, you know, just those little keynotes as we leave this topic here. So everybody feels safe. And you can add in what, you know, you feel like we really, cause my brain is just not as great as yours when it comes to organizing these things. But I think it's important that, you know, your desire sexually or your desires when it comes to sex are valid is what I've gotten today.
Excellent.
No matter where you're at on that scale, and that there is a scale. So when we talk about, you know, the lifestyle, swinging, ethical non-monogamy, which you said is kind of a dated term, or consensual non-monogamy,
That's the term.
Yeah, it's a scale. So remember that. So when you approach your partner, kind of remember those baby steps and remember that those baby steps are not just a physical thing that you do in the club. It's also a verbal thing that you do when you have these conversations.
Excellent.
So I learned from you today. And then also, you know, go check out Dr. Carrie O'Neill's site. I feel like you just have it all figured out and you've spent a really long time studying everything. You've got it all. I feel like you've got it all figured out. Maybe you would disagree with me, but
Well, I still have a belly button, so not everybody gets it right every time in the field. But yeah, I am very methodical. I think about things a lot. I like things that work. That is absolutely my work.
Yeah, I love that. That's today, you guys. That was it right there. You're valid. You know, you take those baby steps, avoid the alcohol, and go visit Dr. Carrie O'Neill's site, which will be linked. I'm going to go to your site and pull your referral link for SDC because everyone loves a discount. So that will be the link for SDC.
Excellent.
For the description. So definitely check that one out. I need to create an account. I actually don't have one. But I was looking at the website and it looks pretty legit. So you can take your glasses back off. I'm just kidding. I was gonna say, if you have anything else you want to say about today's episode, definitely go for it. And when you're ready, I have my rapid fire questions ready.
Oh, I want to thank you for being here. It's been a pleasure. And you know what? Don't die with a dream in you. If you want to explore, it's safer than it's ever been. There's avenues, there's ways. Live your best, fullest life.
Love that. Love that. All right, let's have some fun here. This is a good way to kind of, you know, leave on a good, happy note. And I feel like I learn so much about my guests when I do this. So I'm going to ask you 5 rapid fire questions. Okay. The first one, what's your favorite holiday?
Holiday. I've worked so much the last 10 years. I don't know if I know a holiday.
You got to celebrate a holiday.
You know what? My birthday. I try to celebrate it for a whole month, see lots of friends, do different things.
That's me. And this isn't a rapid fire question. And maybe you don't do astrology or zodiacs, but what's your zodiac sign?
Virgo. This is why I'm picky as fuck about what I do and how I do it.
That's amazing. That is amazing. What is your favorite color?
Favorite color? Maroon right now.
Okay. It looks like you're wearing maroon right now as well.
This is plum, but I would have had maroon on if I had had one. Yes. Thank you.
Name a person who inspires you. That's a hard one. I feel like I wouldn't be able to answer that.
You know, of course, this is where my head has been the last 10 years, but the sexual pioneers, uncovering and helping people. Okay, since you asked me, this is the one that's going to make me cry. John Annon, you can look that up if you want. Plicit model. It's a model that helps people, helps me learn how to help work with people in their case. Okay, whatever. There's that. I was studying for my PhD. I was up to my eyeballs in research, and in the bowels of the University of Utah, I found that they were using his model in an Arab country. I can't recall it at the minute, but I'm like, what? And they were only able to do 3 of the 5 steps because of the laws. But wow. By helping the Arab women with the first 3 pieces, I'm in tears reading this piece of research. I paid to get the report. I'm not kidding. I packed up my stuff. I came home. I wanted to look him up because I thought, I know how this stuff goes. You never know where your work is out in the world. I am going to find Jack and I am going to show him and I'm going to send him this report. Oh my gosh, you won't believe what you're doing out there. Only to find that he had died 4 years earlier from this experience. And I sat at my desk and cried thinking, how important is your work?
Yeah.
You have no idea how it can help people. And in the sexual realm, which is where my heart is, everybody counts and it matters.
Yeah. Would you say that he was a man before his time? He was really...
He made something hard really simple and he was a pioneer. I don't always use his model, but I have it in my mind, right? We've come up with new tools. But he was a pioneer who cut the teeth for the rest of us. Yeah.
Wow. I think that's so cool. It's like the invention of the wheel. Like you have the wheel as it was, And then people just kind of look at it and they're like, oh my gosh, wow. And then you kind of build on it and build on it and build on it. And now we're using hoverboards. what is one food you would never want to give up?
Avocados.
Really? Okay, so you pay the dollar extra at Subway for an avocado.
I do.
Funny. Let's see. This is kind of a fun one, and I really do want to get like the real, like real answer. So not like your first professional one, but what was your first job?
My first job? Mm-hmm. The real one. Okay.
Yeah, like bagging groceries or
something. I was raised on the wrong side of town by a single mother paying with food stamps. I was cleaning houses at age 13.
Wow.
There were two guys that lived down the street, bachelors. I started at their house and then I started cleaning houses wherever I could pick them up.
Wow. That is a humbling question. I feel like we need one more because that's not many people at 13 do. I mean, yeah, that's okay. Here's one good question. Name a song that makes you happy. Do you listen to music?
A song that makes me happy. So I'm a dancer. Shout out to anybody who's a Westie. And if you're a Westie, you know what that means. But West Coast Swing. Okay. We call ourselves Westies. But anything that makes me happy is a beat I can dance to. And that's not a bullshit answer, but I really feel that way. I like a heavy beat. I like old original Prince. There's an album that just sets my clock. Purple Rain. I love that album. Lots of sexual times as a young girl and it still works.
You want to talk about my sexual awakening? Gosh, Prince on MTV. I remember that when I was a kid. I was like, wow. But well, we're going to end on that happy note here. I am going to drop all of your links. I have to have you back on. And
I would love to. I think there's a lot to cover for this audience.
Definitely a lot to cover. And I just honestly, I cannot get enough. So I want you on again. And I cannot emphasize this enough for the listeners here. Please check out Dr. Carrie O'Neill's website. That's going to be linked because I don't even have the patience. This interview is coming out in 2 weeks. And I'm just like, I want it out. Well, I guess next week it's coming out next week. I think I have to look, but you guys don't need to wait. Just go straight to her website, get it all there. This is really just like the very, very fine layer on top of this cake. And hey, it will kind of be that way, honestly.
Thank you. And since you like so much of the whole enchilada, the class in fall that I was referring to called Lifestyle Navigation Skills, these are the core that with these core elements, I know you will hit it out of the park. With these core elements, you'll have everything you need to be a success if that's what you choose. Yes. And that is coming out in fall. So I'd love to come back and talk about it.
Yes, I will definitely be doing that. And that's just going to help Utah change a lot. I think your course is needed in order for us to make change within our state government as well in regards to a lot of this stuff. So make more educated swingers as a better example to our lawmakers.
Make the world a better place. All right. Well, thank you.